Today we're going to be talking about the realm of the unseen, and I knew Susan, I didn't know, but this is what the Holy Spirit had been dealing with me about teaching, and then she announced that she's going to start teaching on faith. And I thought, well, I think the Lord was right on, because we're going to get into the realm of the unseen, which deals with faith. And so let's turn to Psalms, let's go to Psalms 89 first. The realm of the unseen. Faith always deals with the realm of the unseen. And faith is what brings what's in the realm of the unseen to you into the physical and the now. And so this word is the only thing that's going to give us faith. Faith, the Word of God says, faith is the victory. And yet people don't, they're under attack, but they won't spend time in the Word. They won't read the Word and study the Word and listen to the Word and listen to different teachers. I'm telling you, that is your answer, is the Word of God. Why is that the answer? Because God said He watches over His Word to perform it. The more we hear it, the more we study it, the more we're going to say what the Word says, and the less we're going to speak the problem. We cannot continually talk the problem. And the only time really that we might talk the problem is if we're asking somebody to intercede. We're telling them, this is what I need. I did this with different ones when I was in the hospital those 9 days. I had 2 or 3 people that I would talk to because this is what I need. In fact, I think they would ask what is it that you need? Well, that's not claiming the problem. This is the difference. When you're asking somebody and sharing with them, now this is what's going on in my body right now, that's not claiming it. But you're helping them to know, because they're not the one hurting. And they can, and I need to talk to you. I think I've got a day planned for our intercessors group that I've been working on. But intercessors are so important to us. But we're going to talk about the realm of the unseen. So let's go to Psalms 89. Well, I've got something written down wrong here. I think. Hang on just a minute. Let me make sure I'm in the right place, and I'm not. Oh, yeah. I guess I'm in 88. Okay. Chapter 89 is correct. Verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Now he's talking to David here, and he says, I'm not going to lie to you, David. I'm not going to change my covenant. He's not going to alter anything. God will not alter anything He has said in this word. He will not change what He has already said, regardless of how you feel and regardless of what your finances are. He still says, I take pleasure in the prosperity of my servant. And He still says, you are blessed coming in and blessed going out. He still says, you are the head and not the tail. He will not alter anything, any promise in this book. He will not alter by the words of His mouth. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Okay, He goes on. I want to go ahead and read some more of this. He says, His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon is established and as faithful witness in heaven. Then he says, Selah, pause and think about there. I'm telling you, just as sure as there's a moon and there is a sun and it's going to be there, he says, my covenant is going to be there and I will not break it. Amen. I will. So, what if sickness comes? What if poverty comes? What if you get in financial trouble? Then he gives us the word of how to come out of it. We still don't claim it. I want to emphasize that word. We do not claim what is happening to us, because we're going to find out that it's subject to change. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to read some chapter 4 and verse 18. This has been important scriptures to me. We're going to start with verse 17, actually, that I think we learned years and years and years ago, Karen. You know, this was so important to us. He says in verse 17, "For our light affliction," he even calls them light, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory," while he's still talking. "During the time," he says, "that this is happening, we look not at the things which are seen." So during the time that we are under affliction, that Satan's coming against us in any area of our life, that's not what we focus on. He says, we do not look at that affliction. He says, we don't look at anything we can see. In other words, anything that you're experiencing in the natural. You're not to look at it. You're not to focus on it. But we're to look at the things which are not seen. We're to look at the things that are in the realm of faith. If it's healing, if it's prosperity, if it's peace of mind, if it's problem with your kids, whatever, you don't claim those things. But you look into the realm of faith and you speak what the word says about that. And part of, I don't know why I'm going here, I do know, it has to be the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Because when I mentioned kids, this is what came up in my spirit. Now this is, this is the curses. Now what does the word say about curses? We have been redeemed from the curses. And now, this is for somebody in particular. This is part of the curse which you and your family has been redeemed from. Verse 32, "Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them." You're not getting to enjoy them all the day long. "And there shall be no might in thine hand." That's part of the curse. There is might in your hand. It's the word of God. Amen. And then he says, well, we could go on with some of that, but I want to go on over here in verse 41. "Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity." That's under the curse. So get excited. You can do something about that if you're not getting to enjoy your children. Okay? That's for somebody. I just know that because that wouldn't have come up to my mind if it hadn't have been for somebody in particular. But you do have something you can do. Don't claim that that's what's happening with your family. Don't accept it. He said that he's not going to alter what comes out of his mouth. We're not supposed to alter the word that comes out of our mouth. Don't change it because things look worse. Amen. A lot of times things get worse before they get better. That's Satan trying to discourage you and keep you from speaking the word and start speaking the situation or circumstance. Okay. So our focus and our attention are not to be on what we see or feel. That was out of that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Why is that? Because we'll start speaking those things that we put our focus on. And when we start speaking things that we have our focus on, we are accepting it. And I don't want to accept that. So faith is your evidence that something exists. And when faith is there, It's real. You'll know it, and you accept what you see in the realm of the faith. But for example, we can't always see the working of the Holy Spirit. We can't always see the healing, but it's there and it's working because God says he sent his word. If the word of healing is in you and was hands were laid on you this morning, a process has started. The process of healing has started. You may, and you have to not alter what comes out of your mouth. Amen. Okay, so a lot of people, they don't understand the realm of the unseen, but you know, it's there and it exists. Healing actually exists in the realm of the unseen. And your money exists in the realm of the unseen. And so we've got to continue to speak what God says. He says you're blessed going in and blessed going out. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the store. You're blessed. Amen. But how many of you have accepted the fact that you have a heart? And that you have a brain. Can you see it? No, you can't see it, but you accept it, don't you? Well, that's the way faith works. We deal with the realm of the unseen. And when he says we're healed, even though there may be symptoms in your body, you are still healed. And that just, it makes no sense to this up here, but we have to accept what he has said about that, okay? So, when you look beyond the problem, you're seeing through the eye of faith. When you're able to focus your and look beyond the problem, what is life going to be like tomorrow? I can tell you what mine's going to be like today because I spoke it last night in my bed. I spoke what my day was going to be like today. And I'm not altering that. If something was to come to change what I said, I'll not change what came out of my mouth last night while I was in bed. I speak to my body every night. I tell it it's going to have energy for the day. And I tell it what it's going to be able to do. And I tell it what it's not going to do. The words of your mouth, God put power in words. And so when you go to bed at night, you know, of course, I'm by myself, me and my dog. Chris, we're by ourselves, us and our dog. But I have started, it's in me. I praise God for what he puts in you. I cannot go to sleep without singing loud upon my bed at night. I go and I get started singing loud upon my bed. And I see I don't have a husband there that would say, would you please shut up? And Andre loves it. That's my dog, Andre, the gentle giant. But I sing to him every night. Now, I literally cannot go to sleep without singing to God at night on my bed. Where did I ever get that from? Because I kept reading that in Psalms. To sing loud upon your bed. And so I do it. And now it's as if I can't stop it. And you know what happens? He talks to me. He tells me things up on my bed at night. That's why I always keep notebooks around. Pen and paper. He talked to me what I shared with you. He woke me up twice about, not about Karen, but something I shared with her. Sunday night when I came home from church, I was just laying there singing out loud on my bed. And well, I drifted off to sleep. And in a little bit, I woke up with a certain individual on my mind. And I thought, wow, why did he come to my mind? And then in a little bit, it kept coming back to my mind, and he spoke to me that this individual, whatever I was praying in the spirits, what he spoke, I'm not going to tell you that. But where did that come from? It came from getting into the presence of God by singing to Him in my bed. We spend time with God, and He speaks to us. My special time is at night when I go to bed, because I lay there and I have these confessions I make, and then I just start singing. And you know what? It's not hard. It comes. Praise is on the inside of us. And I just let it rip, you know. And He tells me things. He tells me what I'm going to teach. I confess to Him, Father, I give You my access to my mind. I give You access to my voice. I give You access to my thoughts. And you know what? When you give it to Him, He has an avenue to speak to you. I don't know why I'm going that direction. It's not even in my notes. Okay. So, it's just, you know, we need to share with each other how God ministers to us, because, you know, maybe that's something you need to do. But it is, I'm telling you, June, you alone at night, just sing loud upon your bed and see what starts transpiring. Amen? Okay. So now let's go to wherever I am here. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 10. You're already in that particular chapter. So start with verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. You could say, could be of the Word. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Now, don't get all upset here. We do live in a world where there is trouble. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's trouble on every side of you, but you're not distressed. Why? Because of the Word that's in you. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Praise God. It's because of the Word that's in us. Amen. The Word is so important. So, the Word of God says that, I'm trying to think, I may get to that scripture in a little bit, that talks about what He says and that we're supposed to say the same thing. I'm telling you, this Word coming out of my mouth makes my day. It will also destroy my day, the words that come out of my mouth. And as I had told someone earlier, I mean, I was singing this morning coming in, and I just started singing sunshine songs. I mean, I hadn't even thought of them. And it just started coming out of me. It's in us, girls. And I just started singing that song, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. All these sunshine songs came out of me. I hadn't thought of them since, I don't know, umpteen years ago. But what's in you, what I'm saying is, what's in you will come out of you. And it will come out of you in words. Amen. Are you thankful for the sunshine?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So let's look at an example of how Jesus looked beyond problems. And He proved that anything we can see with our physical eyes is subject to change. That's what we read, remember? It's subject to change. While we look not at the things which are seen, But at the things which are not seen, what he's saying there, it will not stay in its present condition. Amen? Praise God. So let's go to Matthew 14. I got off track so much this morning that I'm having to try and find my way back to the lesson. Matthew 14, start with verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food." So they were in a desert place. They were hungry. And the disciples were caring about the people. There was a multitude of people. We'll find out how many in just a minute. But he said, "Jesus, send them into the cities. Let's get them out of this desert place and let them go get them something to eat. They're hungry." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. You give them something to eat." Pause and think on that. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He said, "You feed them." Well, and they say unto him, "We don't have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus. What do you expect?" What did he expect? He expected them to feed them. He expected them to release words over the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Just like we're going to do that over food that we eat today. Because the food, I'm prophesying this right now, the food that you're going to partake of today is sanctified. That means it is set apart for the use of your body. So don't get in there and say, "Oh, I shouldn't be eating this." Well, you're right. You probably shouldn't because of the words of your mouth. But whatever I put in my mouth today is going to be set apart. It's sanctified and set apart for the use of my body. Okay, well, I don't know where that came from. But he said, and Jesus answered, he said, "Well, bring me the fish and the loaves." And he commanded the multitude to sit down. Are you using your imagination? All of these people. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and he broke and he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. So, listen, that's 5,000 plus men and women. Can you imagine the minds of these disciples? You want us to feed 5,000 plus people? We've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Duh. But they didn't speak. They didn't get it. You got to speak to whatever situation you find yourself in. You got to speak what the word says. Amen. So, but what did Jesus see? See, they didn't see it. They couldn't see themselves feeding them. But what did Jesus see? He saw what they did have, which was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He took his eyes off of what wasn't enough and looked to heaven. Then he blessed what he did have. He took it off. He didn't see what they didn't have. Now you need to let that soak in, whatever your situation is. You don't look at that. You don't put your focus on that. But you see, the word always paints images. And that's why we make confessions. And we say it over and over and over, because it's painting an image to us of what the word says we have. So he blessed it. And he gave it to the disciples also. And what did he have the disciples do? Now this is wonderful. He gave it to the disciples, and the disciples were to pass it out. And I love this. The disciples got to pass out what they originally could not see. They got to pass out what they originally could not see. What a blessing he has given us. You think you can't bless people? You think you can't bring your tithe to the storehouse? Yes, you can. You get to do something that you didn't think you could do, but you can do it. Amen. Praise God. And I'm believing that that's something that you will see after these 3 weeks or 4 weeks we've studied on your roadmap to prosperity, that you'll be able to see yourself doing these things and having these things. With the doing comes the having. Amen. With the doing brings the harvest. Okay? So we need to train ourselves to see what this word sees. And you can do it. I can do it by confessing it every day. That's why I write things on notes and put it on my refrigerator and on my mirror and everything. And then when I see that, I read it out loud until it becomes faith. How does faith come? By hearing. Faith comes by listening to what you hear. Faith is listening. It's listening to the word. And then you'll act on it. Amen. So we need to tell ourselves, I'm going to have what the word says I have. I'm going to have it. Make your own confessions. I tell you, there's things I'm saying that I have. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord says, well, you need to sow toward that. Put the seed in the ground to have that. And because the sowing and reaping is a big part of our having. What the word says that we're going to have, and that's another teaching right there, is the sowing and reaping. But I'm going to have it. And when I start saying that, I start seeing it. I focus my eyes on that. I see it coming. I don't know how it's coming, but I see it coming into my hands. I see things coming to my mailbox. Why? I went down and laid hands on my mailbox. Hey, I believe this stuff. You have a mailbox? Are you believing for finances? Now, I can't tell God how to bring them, but he's responsible if I do my part. Go down and lay your hands on your mailbox. You're getting it, aren't you? Ho, 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 get ready for you to become a blessing to other people without limit. Listen, this word works, but don't alter the thing that comes out of your mouth. Amen? So, I have what God says I'm in his word that I have. Let's go to Proverbs 23. I'm looking at our time up there. This has been kind of scattered today because I've gotten off of, but I'm just following my spirit. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now that's the part I wanted to go to, because I'm not getting into the eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why I'm thinking I have what God promises. And I'm confessing what he says. You to think it in here, and you're supposed to focus on it up here. So you will be what the Word says that you are. You know, whatever you think on, you're going to say. That's just a law. Whatever you think on, you're going to say. And that's why there's so much confusion in the world today. It's words. The confusion comes from the wrong words. That's why you have to watch what you watch as far as the news is concerned. If you don't watch it, you'll be saying what they say. And I mean, I change that so quick. If I don't watch a lot of news, but I do watch some news. But when it starts being negative, listen, it's not going in my ears. And I will not listen to it from you. I have some relatives that are very negative. And I just, Lord, put a watch over my ears because I ain't listening to this. And, you know, sometimes you try to share what you believe and you just, they won't receive it and they don't want to hear it. So wisdom is such a part of what we're, when we're around other people. Of, you know, okay, Lord, I know you said in your word that I have the tongue of the learned and I know when to speak, how to speak, where to speak, and what to speak. And I confess that almost every day of the week because I'm around people. And if we don't get that in our heart and we start thinking on what they're saying, we'll be saying what they say. Amen. Okay. So the word in Hebrews 11, which says, now faith is. You know, I think about that scripture a lot. Now faith is. And so this is what I wrote down. He's saying faith is believing we have the answer now. He says faith is now. It's believing that we have the answer now. And it is already happened. It's already happened. Praise God. That's faith. Where does it happen? In the realm of the unseen. It's happened. I cannot say enough what that scripture, I say it every week now, that he perfects everything that concerns me. He has completed everything that concerns. That has become so important to me. The revelation of that scripture of he's already perfected everything that I don't that I don't even know about. Everything I don't even know about, he's already working on it, perfecting it and completing it in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the unseen. See, there's things that are a care to you that would be a care to you tomorrow. But he's already handled it. Amen? He's already handled it in the realm of the unseen. And so we've got to line our mouth up with what he's already handled in the realm of the unseen. Are you getting that? Boy, is this mouth important or not? Praise God. Okay, so faith always says right the opposite of circumstances. Yes, it always does. Where was I going? Did I read y'all? I did. Okay, now, you know, look at Genesis chapter 1 real quick. We're going from the front to the back, aren't we? I love reading this. We're going to read, well, let's just start with one. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, here's where we're going. And the earth was without form and void. It was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now notice the power of God here. The Holy Spirit was present. It was moving upon the darkness. But nothing changed. The darkness did not turn to light until Jesus said, "Light be." And that's a principle for us. We have to say what the Word says, and you will have what the Word says. It's the power of words. And everything God spoke in Genesis, you know, it didn't happen until He spoke it. And the same thing is true with us. That's why we don't speak the problem. You know, in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 6, it says, "Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth." Proverbs 6. And another, I looked this up in another translation, and it says, "You are taken captive with the words of your mouth." Okay? We've got to put God's word in our mouth and let it come out of our mouth. Remember when we started today, Psalms 89:34, that we read when we, it said, "My covenant," Jesus was speaking, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips." Vision, the people perish. That's how important your words, the right words coming out of your mouth, because it will paint an image to you. So we've spent several weeks on your roadmap to prosperity, and I hope you've received the vision of the windows of heaven being opened unto you, and of the scripture that says, "Let it be on earth as it is in heaven." I'm telling you, start seeing what's in heaven. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no poverty. There's nothing but peace. So start thinking about those things. And He says, "And you let it be this way." He's putting the responsibility back on me to let it be by controlling my mind and my mouth, and let God's word produce that in our lives. And this is a quote: "Faith is the connection between God and man." And Susan's going to be starting a series on faith. And so let's be ready to hear it. Let's be ready to listen and get the instructions that He has for us. And this is a quote: "Everything God has is always available to the claim of faith." I like that. Everything God has is always available. It's available to you. You might go around and say that, you know. Everything God has is available to me through faith. And I'm going after it. I'm going to start listening to the word. I'm going to hear the word. Because faith brings possession of what the word says. So how bad do you want it? Are you willing to spend the time and the effort? Everybody has time. It's just how we manage our time. But spend some time every day, every single day, it may morning, noon, night, whenever. Whenever you have the time, take that time to spend it in the Word. And I tell you, once you start studying, you can't hardly quit. I mean, you run rabbit trails. You just go this direction and that direction, and well, you think, you know, I've got to stop, you know. I need to get up and walk around or whatever, because I'm usually, when I do that, I go to my computer and my Bible study stuff and get started on it. And sometimes I can't hardly walk by the time I get up out of that chair. But it's what I'm putting in that's going to come out. Amen. I'm done. I love y'all. Don't you love Ladies Bible Study? You know, we have such a divine connection with each other here. That's what I love so as much as anything about Ladies Bible Study is the bond and the appreciation of each other and what we see in each other that God places in us. That, you know, it's just like the tree. I mean, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. People nibble on us.
and they eat of our fruit, and there's different fruits represented here that I nibble on from you, and we're a blessing to each other. Amen. Okay, all rise. Don't you love that? Well, Father God, here we are, your kids. And Father, I thank you for each individual that's here today because they're your child. And I thank you that we have a great, big, wonderful family. I thank you for each one, and I thank you for what you have placed in every lady here. And Father, thank you for being not only God, but being a father to us. I release these ladies this morning as they go out. Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring to their remembrance the things that you have spoken to them today. I want to thank you to the ladies that received their healing today. In the name of Jesus, they received it. So, Father, as we leave this place and as we go out into the public and as we go to lunch especially, we're going to be nibbling on each other as well as the food. And I thank you for what I receive and what I'm able to give out to them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Have a super great day.